This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter.
Over the weekend, AIDS candlelight vigils were held around the world, acknowledging people living with HIV and those that were lost to the disease. Tonight we will hear from Living Positive Victoria and the Victorian AIDS Council's candlelight vigil yesterday evening. Supported by the low-res choir singing Cyndi Lauper's True Colours, you'll hear from Max Niggle, Heather, Bill O'Loughlin and Fiona Patton as they braved the cold and wet and spoke about the past and the bright future that people living with HIV have today.
Some might ask why global candlelight memorials still matter. From the first memorials in 1983, no one could have predicted the scale and impact of the global HIV epidemic. With millions of lives lost and 37 million people now living with HIV, we as a global community remain profoundly challenged by this epidemic. The HIV epidemic continues to shine a light on the injustices and exclusion in our societies, while allowing space for continued solidarity with our communities who have carried the weight of this epidemic, including gay men, transgender people, sex workers, people who use drugs, women and girls, adolescents and children. The memorial calls upon us to share our stories of challenges, perseverance and triumph, to educate new generations about the achievements of the AIDS movement over the decades.
I remember as a young girl and in my adolescent years, people were getting sick and dying of AIDS. I was about to finish high school when HIV was declared a global pandemic. It was scary. I'm living with HIV. Like most of you, I'm still on my life journey and figuring out how HIV fits into my life. In the past, I struggled to talk and share my story about living with HIV because of the stigma that's associated with it. I've come a long way. It has been a very, very long journey with many ups and downs. Being in Australia, I've witnessed that many people, especially women, they still do not feel comfortable about discussing about their HIV status. They don't feel comfortable about disclosing and coming out and talking about HIV. This is more so from women from diverse backgrounds and women from migrant backgrounds. Their status causes them shame and guilt. We have a long way to go to break down the cycle of prolonged stigma and discrimination. I remember during my high school and university years that the words HIV and AIDS were everywhere. It was on the news, billboards, buses, clinic, hospitals, radios, everywhere, you name it. People were dying. And at that time, I was very careful and practiced safer sex, always. The economy in Zimbabwe was starting to deteriorate. My parents decided to seek employment overseas. They got jobs quickly in Australia. We all migrated within a year, my parents and three sisters. I was in my early 20s when we arrived. As a visa requirement, we were supposed to test for HIV. This was before we got to Australia. I was negative then. 2 years later, we were applying for permanent residence. I was still negative, and I was so happy and relieved. Although I dated a few people at university and high school, most of the time I was in a committed relationship. I left my boyfriend back in Africa when we arrived here in Australia, so I wasn't interested in dating anyone else. A year and a half went by. I got lonely, like most of us do. I broke it off with someone who is overseas. I started seeing someone else here in Australia. We practiced safer sex initially and decided to go on the pill. Because in Australia, that's what women do. We're more afraid of getting pregnant than contracting STIs, HIV included. Biggest mistake of my life. That's where it all happened for me. I thought and assumed that I was safe in Australia and the other person was HIV negative. Well, I'd asked them and they told me they were negative and I believed them. I started to think in retrospect that if I had been back in Africa, where I come from, I would have insisted that we both get tested before having condomless sex. This is because that is the culture there, and it still is. HIV is very real for everyone back in Africa. Anyway, I educated myself as much as I could around HIV. I sought support from Positive Women, Living Positive Victoria, Victorian AIDS Council, and of course, my doctors. I ended things with this guy. Life happened again. I returned to university. I got another degree. I found a partner. I had two beautiful kids. I got a job. We separated, and now I feel like I'm finally getting my life again. I feel like I'm getting a do-over. As you can tell, this may be a very normal story, but that is how it is for a lot of us, for a lot of women living with HIV. We're very normal, boring people, sometimes complex. The problem is the lack of space that is available for us to be able to share our stories in a safe environment. The challenge we have now in present Australia is stigma. Stigma that is associated with living with HIV, testing for HIV, and being diagnosed for HIV. This is what stops people living with HIV from speaking out and have others learn from their experiences. And today, we should remember on how far we have come. We should reflect on the back on the 80s when a lot of people were dying from AIDS. I know I was lucky enough to have my peers start the fight we have against HIV now. I say thank you and rest in peace to those we have lost to HIV-related illness, including AIDS. My journey is about reflecting on the past and preparing for my future.
If I'm asked to describe the experience of those days to younger gay men, I ask them to imagine a gathering of their best friends, best mates, having fun, yarning, telling stories, teasing each other over a meal, over drinks. But quietly, in the background, each knowing that in the coming year, there was a good chance that one, or maybe more, of your group would start to become sick and move towards dying. And that you, each of that group, would be faced with deciding if and how you would care for him. In the common history that circulates about those years, this part is not remembered. Back then, many more people than now saw homosexuality as a perversion, and gay men as sick, degenerate, and immoral, as lesser members of society and a threat to its values and mores. Yet from the time the sickening and dying began, hundreds of gay men rose to respond, and we cared for our friends as they died. And more remarkably, hundreds of gay men became support volunteers at VAC and supported complete strangers through to their final day. Some helped drive them to appointments, shopped or did cleaning. Others faced the horrible intimacy of cleaning up vomit, feces and blood. Gay men, back then considered to be incapable of conventional love, delivered extraordinary acts of compassion, selflessness, and altruism over and over again, and quietly and privately.
I see your true colors, and that's why I love you. So be
It's 2018. It's 30 years since I went to the first funeral for a friend who died of AIDS. And I went to many more. I was involved in the AIDS Council in those early days. I also was part of establishing some of the needle exchange programs in those early days. And in those early days, it was frightening, but God, you know, we actually had a lot of fun as well. And I think it was because we didn't know what was coming the day after. So we'd celebrated life in a way that was quite different. It might have also because I was young as well. That was kind of the attitude then. But it was also a time when our governments were actually quite brave. You know, we funded, we established AIDS councils, we established sex worker rights organisations, we established drug user rights organisations. We did some really great work. We were brave. Australia was at the lead. And I think that's why we have been so successful continuing on in this campaign. But in those days, you know, we didn't even recommend that you got tested because we knew the stigma and the discrimination of being tested.
I see your true colours, and that's why I love.
Back in the early 90s, when a woman became HIV positive, it was never thought that they would have children, ever, because for fear of transmitting the virus onto their child, or for fear that they wouldn't live long enough to raise that child. So it was just with such wonderful optimism to hear Heather's story and to hear Heather saying, I'm just boring. Heather, you are far from boring.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program and your link to the stories that matter.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.